Good afternoon. How you doing? Today we're going to talk about the Azure Resource Manager. Just to take a survey, how many people have used the new preview portal, Azure Preview Portal? Great, so most of you have used that. So the thing that's powering the preview portal behind the scenes is the Azure Resource Manager. And today we're going to talk about some of the internals and designs of the underpinnings of that Resource Manager. Before I actually get into the talk, one of the things I want to do is start off with a demo. Right one? That's the right one. And I want to show you what the power of the new Resource Manager can do by deploying lots and lots of resources to Azure all in one shot. So what I've done is I've created a template, and I'll actually go into what templates are in my talk. And push that. So let's start now with the new PowerShell, new Azure Resource Group. So I'm going to create a new Azure Resource Group with a template. This name is going to be Lots of Resources. And I'm going to give it a template file. This is one of the things I'll talk about later on. I'm just going to call it Massive. Massive JSON. There's going to be some websites in there, so it's going to ask me for a site name. Lots of sites. And finally, where do I want to have this built out? So where it's going to be deployed from, and that'll be in West US. And let's make it verbose so we can see what's happening. So what I've done is I just kicked off the deployment of a template. That template, let's see, go back here and show you. Is this massive.json. What makes it massive is actually what it's trying to do. What we have in this JSON file is a description of a deployment. That deployment has 8 websites, which means it has 8 hosting plans. It has 4 SQL servers, 4 databases, 4 firewall rules, all those getting deployed at the same time in every region around the world. So we have 36 resources being pushed out all at once with this description of the JSON. And we can see here we have some websites and web server farms and the descriptions of what's going on. And in the background, this has sent this template file to the Azure Resource Manager. The Azure Resource Manager has parsed that file and has started to execute that template. The part that takes the longest in this deployment is the SQL servers, because that requires creating a host up in the cloud and creating a DNS name, and sometimes that takes a little bit. But in, let's see, I will say about 10 more seconds, hold me true to my word, we should see that this deployment has completed. So in just 1 minute, we were able to push out 36 resources up into Azure and have that all up and running. So I just wanted to show you what the power of the new Resource Manager can do with some very simple commands. Later on in the talk, I'll actually go into all the details and what's involved in making that happen. So let's go back to the slides. Okay. So today's challenge. In today's world of managing Azure, it's difficult to deploy or update a group of resources repeatedly. Right now, everything is very resource-centric, and you have to deal with each one individually. There's no relationship between resources in the way that we deploy them today, and be able to do it in a repeatable fashion. I want to redeploy this set of resources again and have it look exactly the same. Second, it's difficult to manage permissions on a group of resources. We have authorization on the data plane, right? There's a distinct authorization on the data plane, and we have a large hammer of a subscription that you can use for authorization against your resources themselves, but you don't have any fine-grained capabilities of managing those resources or being able to distinguish those resources for authorization. visualize a group of resources in a logical view, including monitoring and billing. Again, since today this is a resource-centric world, we have everything viewing a particular resource. You can look at the health or the cost of a particular resource, but it's hard to determine what the health of a set of resources are. What's the health of my application, or what's the health of my data tier in my application for my service? And what is that costing me? It's hard to, you know, if I have hundreds of resources and five are doing a particular, or for a particular purpose, it's hard to make, to pull those things apart without creating more infrastructure around subscriptions or other tooling that you have to do yourself. So part of that challenge is created by the fact that we have singletons. So we have, for example, websites and storage, databases and virtual machines, and they're all seen as single entities. So when you go ahead and go into the current Azure portal, you're creating a particular resource and interacting with that resource. So deployment becomes more complex because now you have to understand how to deploy each of those in concert with each other when you're trying to think about your app instead of thinking about a particular resource. Proper use of the resources become more abstract. How do I reference another resource after it's been created? So then I have to create code and other things to make that happen, or do it manually, or other configuration mechanisms that are not very straightforward. Isolation makes communication a challenge. So because these resources are distinct, they're hard to configure together, have those things realize their properties, and deal with them as a single unit. So in today's portal, we're guilty of this in today's portal. On the left-hand side, you see a list of resources. Each one is, you click on a particular resource here. You've clicked on the websites, and then you see my list of websites. And I can have 100 websites, and you see my list of websites. And that list on the left side is growing. You know, right now you have to scroll to see all the resources that are available to create. And that, every month we have new resources coming live in Azure. And not only Microsoft resources, but third-party resources as well. There are a lot more resources coming online, and it's going to be unmanageable to have that infinite list of resources on the left-hand side and be able to reason about those things. So we've evolved and created a new resource manager, the Azure Resource Manager. What it does is it helps with the application lifecycle container. It allows you to put resources in a container together so that those things that have a lifetime together can coexist. Declarative solution for deployment and configuration. So we have a way to describe what your deployment looks like. If you want to have an end state for the set of resources that you want to deploy and be able to repeat that process, we've created a new template language for that. And finally, a consistent management layer. The resource manager is essentially the front end to all of Azure resources. So from any tooling aspect, goes through the resource manager, and then finally into the resource providers that will support those requests. But everybody is equal. So anything that the portal uses or the tools use is open to the customers as well to go and use those same interfaces. By following these guidelines for ourselves, we've made it a lot easier to onboard new resources as well as create new tools as they come online. So one of the first concepts that we have is a new concept called a resource group. A resource group is a tightly coupled containers of multiple resources of similar different types. So the resources in that resource group can be homogeneous. It could be all your SQL databases for your data tier, or it could be heterogeneous. It's actually representing my application through all three tiers, my website, my middle tier, and my database. Every resource must exist in one and only one resource group. The identity of a resource is partly defined by the resource group it lives in, so it can only live in one resource group. That's an important aspect for things like billing. If you want to look at pi of your resources, if you can live in multiple resource groups, it makes it hard to get a holistic picture of what something costs, for example. resource groups can span regions. So you can have all your resources in the same region, or it can be in multiple regions. So I can create my resource group in one region where things get deployed from, but the resources within it can be in separate resources, in separate locations. For example, if I have a highly available website where I've created a website in West US and a website in East US and I've connected them with Wadham, I want all those things in the same resource group, and that's okay. You can have resources in different locations in that same resource group. Coupling for resources. So resource group is a unit of management. So we want to think about all the resources in the resource group as having a common life cycle. The life cycle includes the deployment of those resources, updates to those resources, deleting all the resources at once in that group, and the status of the resources within that group. So the second aspect is grouping. I want to be able to view my resources in a common container, a common model, so I can understand the metering and the billing and the quota that's applied to all the resources and rolled up into the group. So I can look at, hey, is there something wrong with my resource group? And you can see that there's a yellow flag in your resource group, something's wrong with it. Or my data tier resource group is costing me $50. And you can actually see that information. Question? You can reference a resource from another group to another group. So the question is, can you link resource groups together, or can you view resource groups together? The answer to that is soon, very soon. We'll give you different views of resources besides the ones in resource groups. Yes. Another question. Resources? A resource that lives only in one subscription. No, a resource group also lives in a single subscription. Okay. And I'll get into some of the details. About half of my talk is going to be going through demos, so then I can get into the details of what the hierarchy looks like and the URIs and some more of that background. So resource group lifecycle, based on some of these questions that we're getting, should these resources be in the same group or in different groups? How do I decide what resource group my resource should be in? So one of the things you should think about is, do they have a common lifecycle in management? In the example on the right here, we have you could have one resource group with my website, my storage, my VMs. If that's what you consider as a common life cycle. But I may have, another example, multiple websites that are serving different applications with a common database tier. And each of those websites have different lifetimes for when they get deployed and when they get taken down. And I don't want the update of one website to affect the database, which could affect another website. So you'd have those in different resource groups. So the answer is that it's up to you. So, we don't constrain you as to what you can put in your resource groups, but you should be mindful about how you create those resource groups so you can get the optimal view or management experience that you want. So the next important part of the resource manager is that we've created Azure templates. So an Azure template can ensure item potency. So one of the things that we want to enable is being able to take a template and be able to deploy it multiple times, and you have the same end state that you had each time you call it. So resource providers in the background are smart enough, if you've done a partial deploy of a template and you redeploy it again, would say, this is already done. I don't need to recreate that resource. So you can apply that template multiple times, and you can get to your end state. Simplify orchestration. So even in the simple case, for example, that you have on the right, where you have a database, a website, and a virtual machine, and I need to deploy all those resources, but the website needs a connection string for the database, And the virtual machine has startup code that's going to hope that the SQL database is already existing and started. So being able to coordinate that, you have to go in manually and say, first create SQL, and then go create your website and create your VM. And what we've done in the template language is, by inference, we've been able to determine what the right order of deployment should be of your resources. In the template, you'll have a reference from your website to the database. You can get the connection string property. And your virtual machine can have an explicit depends on the database. So when the template gets pushed to the resource manager, we will parse that template and create an execution list for those resources. If there are no dependencies across those resources, they will all get created at once, so it's very efficient. And as the engine realizes there are dependencies, then it will put them in the particular order that it needs to ensure it gets created in the right order. So you don't have to think about that. It's built into the template itself. And finally, it provides cross-resource configuration and update support. So as I mentioned, that there's the ability to have, if you create a website, you can actually reference a property of another resource that's been created in the template. So we provided capabilities for you to get properties of existing resources and apply them into the creation of a new resource. So what are Azure templates? Azure templates is essentially JSON. It's a JSON file that has that applies a particular JSON schema, and it's source code. So we want to be able to allow you to check that in, check it out, deploy it, and repeat that process over and over again. So it's just a file, and actually I will go through and give you a deeper walkthrough of what a template looks like. But that's the intent. It should be human readable and just a file. There's no magic that's being created in there. It specifies resources and dependencies. So you know, as I talked about in the example, you define what the values of your properties of your VM are, and you create a VM or your website, and you can reference other properties from other resources. And connections, so the configuration of those can be part of your template. And finally, you have parameterized input and output of your templates. So one of the important capabilities that we have is this notion of repeatability. And if I want to be able to repeat my deployment for, you know, I want to deploy it in East US, and then tomorrow I want to deploy it in North Europe, I don't want to have to create a new template file and actually put in that data. So what we've done is created parameters, so then you can use location as a parameter and run the same template just with a different parameter. Or, for example, I have my dev deployment versus my pre-prod deployment. For my dev deployment, I want a small database and a small website, versus my pre-prod, I want a very large database and a large set of websites and number of websites. And you can make all that parameterized as well, so you can still use the same template to get that same environment pushed out just with different sizes or different aspects of those resources. And finally, can have output. If you create a storage account, you want to be able to get that connection string to the storage account, so you can use that as output, or your database, for example, and get that as output to your template. Add your own power. So, you know, we've talked about how you can create resources and the relationship across the different resources when you do the deployment, but that's not quite done yet. If I actually want to deploy my site or my code or my data, so in the resource, in the template definition, you can have extensions, which are just child resources, and I'll go into what child resources are, that do things like do a web deploy of my WordPress site or my particular website that I've created in Visual Studio. Add an AV agent inside of a VM. So we've each resource provider has its own notion and set of extensions. SQL will have a DAC pack if you want to push up data as part of your configuration. And there's also the extensible solutions that are outside, but still can be initiated through the deployment. For example, a DSC script that runs at startup, or you can instantiate your VMs with Chef and Puppet, and so when your machine comes up, the Puppet agent will reach out to Puppet Master and complete its VM configuration. So all that's capable with the new resource manager and template language that we've created. So doing a kind of high-level view of the architecture, at the very top level, we have our set of tools, right, our clients. The portal, command line tools, PowerShell and XPLAT, and Visual Studio all work against the service management API. So we have a common REST API that they all talk to. And there's no secret sauce in that. There's no, you know, the portal doesn't have some secret API that it uses that nobody else can use. Everybody uses the same API to interact with the backend service. Then at the core, you have the resource manager. The resource manager is responsible for multiple things. One is authorization. So when that request comes in, it will reach out to AED and make sure that you are authorized to actually create that resource, that your subscription is enabled to create that resource, or that the right auth has applied. It also has operations logs. So there's now a common operations logs integration. So if you have a new resource provider, instead of you having to do your own heavy lifting for creating ops logs for your common requests, the resource manager does that as a common capability across all resource providers. And then routing. So it's going to take the request and look at it and determine a few things. One, what is the resource provider that this is intended for? If it's not a request to itself, what's the resource provider it's intended for, and where is it at? With the new resource manager, we've enabled more geo separation of our backend resource providers so that we have better availability and locatability of the data and services. So, and then on the bottom layer, we have a resource provider contract. So all resource providers, and a resource providers is those services that provide and create the resources that you're interested in. Website, you have a resource provider for a website, resource provider for a SQL database, for VMs, for even third-party resources like MySQL will have a resource provider. And they all adhere to the resource provider contract so that there's a common way for the resource manager to go and communicate with them. So this allows for the faster onboarding of new services, and particularly for third-party resource providers that want to integrate and expose through Azure. So what does this all mean? So we talked about the application lifecycle container. It allows you to deploy and manage the applications as you see fit. That container will contain the sets of resources, either homogeneous or heterogeneous resources, so that you can go ahead and manage them and push them out in a consistent manner. A declarative solution for deployment and configuration. So we've created a new template language that allows you to have repeatable processes of deployment, and not only through a static file, but parameterized so you can actually apply it in different environments or in different ways. And then finally, a consistent management layer. So this the same experience deployment for management, whether you go from the portal command line or tools, or you create your own custom interfaces, it's all a common ways to integrate with the Azure Resource Manager, both in the front end and in the back end. So what I'm going to do for the rest of the talk, so this is kind of the intro to kind of the concepts of the Resource Manager. And what I'm actually going to do is get into the details of the power of the Resource Manager and go through some more explanations as I walk through that. So let's get this thing up. Yes, okay. So the first thing I wanted to do was go into what the REST interface looks like. So this is our REST API. See that? Yeah. This is our REST API. Let me zoom in here. And what you see here is our host name, this management.azure.com. And we follow REST conventions for all of our URIs. So at the top level, you have your subscriptions, you provide your subscription ID. And then at the top level, you have resource groups. So that's the container for all of your resources that exist in your subscription. So let me go ahead and send that out. It's fast, which is fantastic. And what you get back is a list of resource groups that exist in your current subscription. So we see that we have three here, and I want to get a particular one, which is the one I just created at the beginning of the talk, which is lots of resources. And so what we get back is the information about the resource group that we created. So it's ID, which is essentially most of the URI, the name that we created, lots of resources, where it was created in West US, and some data about the provisioning state. It was completed when we were done. If it was still running, it would say running. So let's go ahead and actually use the API to go ahead and create a resource group so we can see what that looks like. So here I have a put resource group, so it's no different. We had a resource group URI. Let me zoom in again. And we have resource groups, and being very RESTful, we have something that we're going to create, and it's going to be my tech ed demo. So if I go ahead and create that, I'm going to create that in West US. Send, and it got created. So, you know, one of the things you should notice is that it's very responsive. You know, before I can even kind of look back at my screen, it's already done. So it's gone out to the cloud and come back, and it's already created that resource group for me. So now I have a container available to me to actually go and create resources in. So let's create a new SQL server in that new container I just created. So again, we go to our URI, and I call this my tech ed. My tech ed demo, and I have my tech ed demo server. So one of the things you should see here is, again, going back to the URI, we have resource groups, my tech ed demo, which is the resource group I just created. And then underneath that, we have providers. So providers is the set of resource providers that are able to create resources for you. In this case, I want to create a SQL server, so I'm going to go to the Microsoft.SQL provider. And the Microsoft.SQL resource provider supports a set of resource types. The first thing that I need to create is a server, so I'm going to create a SQL server, and then here's the name of my server underneath that server resource. One of the things that we tried to do is make sure that this is as intuitive as possible. Go ahead and send that. This takes a little longer, as I said in the other part of the lots of resources creation. Creating a SQL server will actually create a host for the SQL databases up in the cloud. After it creates its host, it's going to go out and reach out to Azure DNS, create a DNS name for that. Apply that, put it all together, and return it back. So that's a bit more heavy lifting than just creating something as light as a container, because it has to go through us, then get routed to the SQL resource provider. That SQL resource provider will then reach into the fabric, create the resources it needs, reach out to Azure DNS, create those things, and then come back with the results. And it should be done. From our point of view, it's an atomic operation. From your point of view, it's an atomic operation. If one of those things fails, it's the SQL resource provider that will do the right things to make sure it unwinds whatever it needs to. Because for you, a unit is a server. It doesn't give you a partial server back. It'll just fail. And it's done. So it's created a SQL server in the background. And you see that it's created my tech ed demo server database.windows.net. It's the DNS name that it created. And now that's up and running in the cloud, so ready for us to go and use. So that's the most expensive part of creating the resources, actually instantiating those resources in the back end. So now if we go create a database, again, we'll go back and say, this is my tech ed demo resource group, and my server was my tech ed demo server, and I'm going to create my demo DB on that server. So again, this is very intuitive. One of the things you should notice, again, is the relationship. So I've created a server, and now as a child of that server, there's another resource type called databases that lives as a child underneath servers, and that database is called MyDemoDB. So I'll go ahead and send that, and it's done. So it's now created a database underneath that server that we created a few minutes ago. So if we go ahead and you know, again, put anything you put, you should be able to get. So you just change the verb, and you should be able to get the same thing that you put. So here, again, let me change this to my tech ed demo. And let me get the set of servers. And it will go and get the servers that's in that resource group. And so notice how fast that was. You know, it didn't require any creation. It just queried. And that was handled by the provider itself from returning that information. One of the things that you could also do is we've created indexes so that you can actually get all of your resources at once. And so say, hey, what are all my resources in my subscription? And my access token is expired. Okay. So one of the things we have is authorization. So I've got hit by my authorization timing out. So I'm going to head and create a new bearer token. So what this is going to do, so this is not part of my demo, but it now gets incorporated. So it's going to go out and go out to AAD, and I already had my username password pre-filled. It's going to go and give me a bearer token. So now I have a new bearer token in this text file. And I need to go and reapply it. And that should work. Great. So that's security by design. It's great. That worked. So this is all the resources I created. So in the beginning of the talk, I had created lots of resources. So there are at least 36 resources in here. So this is listing, if we go into some view, so we see lots of resources, SQL Server, lots of resources, SQL Server. So we see all these resources that were created under my subscription, and you can go and query your resources in any pivot that you like. Okay, so now let's go to the portal. So this is the new Microsoft portal for some of those who haven't used it yet. Oh, there's a question in the back. Yeah. For the VMs in particular? Yes. So in the properties, let me go back here. So the question was, you know, can you create a server of a particular size? And yes, the answer is there are sets of properties. For example, if you look in here, I created my database, and the edition, this is a web edition SQL server. So you provide the set of properties in your request, and we'll go ahead and create that. And so that'll be the same for any type of resource. It'll have the set of properties you need to define, and I'll actually go through some of those examples in a bit. Okay, back to the portal. So this is the new preview Azure portal. If you haven't seen it before, it's kind of turned on its head sideways. and it's really designed about being, you know, centric around the types of things you want to build and manage in Azure. So again, this is going against all the actions that are going on in the portal use our consistent API and is going to the resource manager to get the information that it needs to populate the data and the views that we will see. So what I wanted to show you first is the gallery. So the gallery is a curated list of resources, or even resources mushed together, of the types of things that you want to create in the cloud. So this curated list has the resources that you expect, for example, a website here, or a TFS team project, or a SQL database. But it also has third-party resources, for example, MySQL. And they plug into the gallery itself. It also provides different combinations of resources. So for example, if I want a website and a SQL database, it will actually go ahead and create that for you in one click, or a website and MySQL database. It also has web applications that are pre-integrated. So if I want to create a website with a WordPress site on it, you can go ahead and deploy WordPress, and in one click you get your website created and WordPress deployed on it and ready to go. One of the things that's really important to note about the gallery is that inside the gallery is all is backed up by sets of templates. So all creation that happens in the portal is always done via template. Not, you know, we went through the API where we explicitly hit the REST API to create a resource. It actually doesn't do that. It defines those resources via template and then saves that in the gallery. So when you actually click on one of these things, it will pull a template and push it to the resource manager. So then we have all these things baked in and parameterized, and so you can get a nice experience in the portal as well. So let's go ahead and create one of these resources from the gallery. So let's create a website. So it goes in through some preamble about what it is. Let's go ahead and create that. Oops. Okay. Let's create a SQL database. Okay. So I created a SQL database. I'm going to create a new SQL database, say my FunDB. And the next thing you can do is pick the pricing tier. In this case, I'm going to pick this web edition. And you get to pick some other settings. So here, in this case, you can pick an existing server. I had already created a server called MyTechEd Demo Server, so let's create it there. That's okay. Let's try that again. MyTechEd Server, actually I have to say select. So I've selected that, and it already realized that that server was part of the MyTechEd Demo resource group, and it was a three-month trial membership. My subscription was my membership. So it's already filled those things out for me, and you go ahead and create it, and in the background it's going to actually go and create that database. So what we have here is the notification window, and that notification window is not only telling me that it's creating the thing I've just done, but it's actually a unified view of all interactions that I've had with my login. So this deployment was the lots of resources deployment that I did just earlier, and it showed that it actually worked. So all that unified notifications comes up in this view. And we can see that we've created a new SQL database. So there's the database. So we can go now into, you know, I've created that lots of resources. Lots of resources, resource group. So let's go look at our resource groups. So we see here we have some resource groups. I've created two of them called Lots of Resources and MyTechEd Demo. And if we go ahead and look at Lots of Resources, it will actually go. And show all the resources that we have in that resource group. Something's funny with websites today. So in the unified view, you know, shows you all the resources that you have, and you can manage them in a consistent way. We're getting some 520s today, so we'll come back to this in a little bit. I think it'll spark up again. But let's put this away. And you can see each of those resource groups together. But one of the you know, as I mentioned earlier, you have all these creations. Oh, you have a question. Can you create, I'm sorry? Can you create a resource group and then put your resources within them? Ah, gotcha. So depending on your resource type, some migration automatically happens for you. They'll be put in default resource groups. And today we don't have it, but very soon we'll give you the capability of moving resources across resource groups. They always have to live in some resource group. You'll get some default resource group, and then you can move them to the one that you want. So, as I mentioned before, it'd be that the thing that's back in the gallery is a set of templates. And one of the things that's great about that is it's all publicly available. So if I go to PowerShell, I can go ahead and get Azure Resource Group Gallery Template. So if I go ahead and just do a get, it's showing me all the templates that are out actually published in the gallery. So one of the things you can do is actually pull down one of those templates. And let's say I want to pull down the resource, the WordPress. So now it's just saved that WordPress template, and we can actually go ahead and is that here? Yeah. Open that up. So this is the WordPress template that's actually uploaded in the gallery that the gallery uses to go and create a WordPress site. So what you can do is you can download any of these templates and use it kind of in a more of a brownfield way as a starting point for you to create your own templates from that. So you can go save it, change it, and then deploy it the way that you like in case the default settings weren't the ones that you wanted, or you want to use it for yourself in your own project and it's a good starting point for you to get started so you don't have to create one of these from scratch. So now that we're in Visual Studio, one of the things you should notice is that we have a new fantastic JSON editor. Yay, finally. So we can actually get IntelliSense. Question?
Will it be integrated with the portal as well?
The JSON editor?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that question. Yeah, I would suspect so, but I can't answer that because I don't know. But in Visual Studio, we have this new JSON editor that gives you IntelliSense. And one of the things I'd like to do is push out a new application. So here's this I Love Azure JSON application. And so what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to walk you through what the template parts are so you can understand the construction of a template and the things that it can do. So at the very top, you have the schema. So the schema is what the JSON schema is what describes. Sure, sorry. Thank you. How's that? That good? Okay. So here's the schema that you can reference, and it will actually provide the editor with the right IntelliSense to go and make sure that you're providing the right information and give you the squigglies where you need to. The next part is a content version. So you can version your templates. You know, as I mentioned before, you know, these are intended to be checked in and reused. And if you go ahead and change those things, you may want to update the version of your template. And then you can create a consistency across those and ensure you're not deploying the wrong version of your template. So we built that into the template itself. Question?
So where would we store your templates? Locally, in Asia file?
So, I mean, these are just JSON files, so you can actually just check it into your own source code, into TFS, for example. Today, one of the things that you have to do first before deploying the template is make sure that it's accessible to the resource manager. So that means today it has to be in some type of storage account. But soon we'll let you just send in a string of JSON, and then we'll accept that and run that as well. Which PowerShell? Azure Automation. Okay. So the question is, you know, what's the advantage of using this versus using Azure Automation? One of the things that we have is there's built-in smarts about the sets of resources and their dependencies. So you don't have to create some type of workflow to describe which the order of those things are. You just describe your deployment, and I'll go into some detail here. It's a much simpler way of describing each of your deployments. The orchestrator that you have today is really designed to help you with some of the existing resources in the current Azure model, where it's very singular. Where here we're talking about the new resource manager service that the portal is built upon, which has this all this stuff built in for you. Managing script is a little harder than managing a description file, and we'll go through the details, and you can make your own determination. But I think managing a piece of JSON is easier than managing a piece of script. So the first part we have here is parameters. So the parameters are the input for your template. In this case, I've parameterized the site name, the hosting plan name, site location, SKU, worker size. So there's a whole bunch of parameters that I have for this template that you would put in, you know, when you deploy the actual template. When you describe a parameter, you give it a particular type. In this case, it's a type string. And we provide a set of types, bool, int, secure string, and string. If you supply a secure string, for example, if you're passing in a password, the resource manager interprets that and ensures that it doesn't get persisted anyplace and is never returned back when you get your deployment back that you put there, so to make sure that those things don't get stored. So the next part that you have, let's look down a little bit, is allowed values. So here in this case, it constrains the list of values that you can put as a parameter. And here we've put in the allowed values for the SKU is free, shared, basic, and standard. And if it's not one of those values, you'll get a validation error for that. And finally, the last part of a parameter is its default value. If you don't provide the parameter value itself during instantiation, then it will use the default value and set that for you. The next part, which is the most important part, is the resources. So here we have a collection of resources. So this is the list of resources that you want to actually instantiate up in the cloud. So the first thing I'm going to create in this template is a SQL server. So we have the type name. Here's the type. So that has the namespace, the Microsoft SQL is a resource provider, and the type, which is servers. So each resource has a common set of properties, but then each resource type has its own set of properties. So in the property section is the set of properties particular to that resource type. So here for servers, you need an admin login and password. For a website, you need some other things like the addition. For the database, you need the addition, collation, and max size. One of the things you should also notice here is the functions. So we integrated a simple set of functions into the template to allow you to do certain things. For example, I want to reference my parameter. Here's the way you reference it. You start off with a square bracket, say parameters, and then you reference your parameter name. This example doesn't have variables, but we also have variables. You can reference the variables in the same way. You declare your variables at the top, and that makes it very easy if you're going to create lots of resources with the same prefix or name, and you only have to change it once and not have to worry about chasing throughout your script, throughout your JSON. The other important part, so we have parameters, variables, concat. So you can concat two strings together. So you can have a prefix and a variable, or in this case, we have Microsoft.SQL servers, and then I'm going to tack on the server name. And we have one more, which is depends on. Actually, that's a field. So so we've, you know, with a few set of functions, we've enabled, you know, quite a lot in terms of flexibility in how you create your templates so that you can make it as reusable as possible without being overly verbose or having to create multiple copies of your templates to accomplish very similar things. So if I continue down this, the next thing we're going to create is we had created a server, and then you see this child resource. See another set of resources underneath that server. That is the actual SQL database itself. So we're going to create a new database. So this goes on. I'm not going to go through every little aspect of this, but the part that I did want to show is that we get to Microsoft Web, we create a hosting plan, and then we create a site, a website, and website. So then underneath the website, so web config, we have a config for that website, and one of the things is, for example, a connection string. So what you've noticed is the last function that I wanted to mention is a reference. So here in this reference, and you can nest functions, I'm going to reference the SQL server that I created, and then get a parameter called a fully qualified domain name so that I can create the appropriate connection string. So here what you're seeing is a reference to a property of another resource that will be created in this deployment and then used in the creation of another resource. And what this will do is also will give the hint to the resource manager to say, hey, this website needs information from another resource, the database, that's also in my template. I will create the database first so that I can actually get that data and pass it to the website. And so that's how it knows how to smartly order the resources that you have in your deployment template. If there were no references or dependencies, it would actually create them all at once and create them very efficiently. So that's it. So it goes on and creates the SQL server. And then one more thing. It's creating some autoscale settings. So all this stuff is being created all in one go. And finally, as part of the website, I'm actually going to do a web deploy of my I Love Azure web site that I created, and I'll actually do a web deploy of that zip file. That's it. So actually, let's see this go. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new Azure resource group. Demo. And I want to put this again in US, and the template file is ilove.azure.json. And so, so this is not all the parameters that were in that template file, but the PowerShell script is smart enough to take in the template, look at the parameters that are needed for that template, and then for the ones that are not default, it will actually ask you, it's like, hey, you still need to provide some of these parameters to that template. And so it gives you helpers and says, ah, what's the site name? So it's YLF Azure Site. And the plan. And the site location, make it again, West US. And West US. There we go. So it asked me for all the ones that were required, and then it took in that data, and now it's going to actually deploy that template. So, Really? That's new? Can't find GeoRegion West US. Okay. Let's try a let's make sure this is all good. Site name. East US. To server location, East US. Let's try that. Happy? Okay, no, it's not happening. East US not found. I think we're having issues with websites. Yes. So if I look at I'm missing my websites. So we seem to be having an Azure issue. okay, so well, then that makes the rest of this a little difficult, but it's about time for some questions anyway. So let me get back to the slides, and I'll see if this comes back up, if it recovers itself a little bit. No, it's something else. Thanks. So one of the things that we wanted to wrap up with is that the Azure Resource Manager is designed for you. You know, you put together the resources that you care about in the way that you want to be able to view them. It provides you predictability, efficiency, which is the power of repeatability. You take your template, and you should be able to redeploy that same template over and over again to get the same end state for that. And this is just the first step. So we've just come out with the portal preview. And just that build is when we announced the resource manager, and we're just seeing the beginnings of the capabilities of the resource manager. And over the next few months, you'll see a lot more coming out from our team to enhance the capabilities that we have today. And this works everywhere. So we're hosted in all data centers. So this is not a constrained preview. So I wanted to leave the rest of the time for questions. So if you could come up, I assume this is being recorded. Yeah, so if you could come up to the mic if you have a question, and then we can get those recorded.
Is there a way to do a dry run when you like apply a resource template, maybe to get like verbose logging to see what would happen? I'm particularly concerned about like making a mistake when I'm setting up like that connection string that I want and have to wait 5-10 minutes to see everything work and then realize that, oh, the made a mistake in like say the connection string and that didn't get, you know, applied. It'd just be nice to be able to test it ahead of time and save some time.
Yes, so there's to a degree that's testable. We have as built into the API a way to validate your template so that it will actually test that it's been constructed right. It will pass the resources to each resource provider to make sure that you've described the resource in the right way. So all the functions get evaluated and referenced correctly. Now, for things that require the service to actually be, you know, the resource to actually be running before you can validate it, that we can't kind of fake create something, but we can at least validate that it is created properly, you have the right references, and it won't break from that aspect. Yes? Can you walk up to the mic?
If by some reasons, if the resource manager script stops in between, what will happen to the resources that are already created?
So what happens if the resource, the template, stops in the middle of creation of the resources? What happens to those resources or the rest of them? So there are different modes that you can have for template deployment. Today we have a single mode which allows you to apply your resources and will update the resources that are there. Soon we'll add the capability of doing rollbacks, so in case part of the template fails, we'll actually undo those resources. Some of that is a little, you have to take caution in doing that because if, you know, let's say, for example, I've pushed out my application, it has my website and my database, and I'm doing an update to that. I don't want it to roll back because it's actually a live service. Just because it updated my website bits doesn't mean I want it to actually undeploy those resources. So you have to be mindful about the options you pick. But by default, it will stop. And then if you want to, because these are idempotent, you just run it again, and then it will continue and create the other resources once those are fixed. Any other questions? How do you get started? So, you know, all the tools that I showed today are available to you. So PowerShell and the JSON editor in Visual Studio, the REST API are all public. You can actually go use those today, and you can get started. If you're using the portal, you can go ahead and start using the portal and create your resources. I'm sorry? There should be. I'll find that for you after the talk, and I'll bring that up. Any other questions? I'll go debug what's happening with my websites.
Dashboard says they're up.
Dashboard says they're up. So if I go create, that's... Well, the dashboard is not necessarily... sufficient for saying what's actually going on. Yeah, so yeah, my dashboard says everything is fine, but if I go ahead and create, yeah. So this means that just to explain some of what's happening. When you look at the dashboard today, there's the Azure websites that's supporting your websites today, and the Azure website guys have a resource provider that talks to our Azure Resource Manager, and there could be some issue with that connection between our resource manager and their preview resource provider. So it's not my site in particular, it's the accessibility of the service. That's a great question. It is definitely preview today. GA is we're looking at, you know, sometime later in FY15. Why so long? Because I can't commit to an earlier date. But we are working hard at bringing that out. So one of the things that we have is that we want to make sure that, you know, and today if you look at the Azure portal, you have access to your websites, SQL databases, Azure SQL, TFS, App Insights. So it's a short list of resource providers that have enabled themselves in the new portal. So not until we have significant enough resources that are showing up through the new portal can we become GA. And so that list isn't sufficient yet. And we need some other things that are coming along, like RBAC, which is going to be coming very soon. So the question is there a more abstract user interface? And so instead of creating JSON and writing JSON in Visual Studio, that I can just drag and drop icons onto a canvas, and then it will do whatever it needs in the background to create the representation of that. That has been an ask for the Visual Studio team, and they're evaluating that. But that's a great ask. Right. So the question is, what's the schedule for the new resource providers coming up in the Azure Resource Manager that can take advantage of some of these great capabilities that we expose with templates, et cetera? Some of that is, dependent on per resource provider. They have their own set of features and things that they have to do. We don't have a definitive list of when those are. We have some that are higher priority than others. For example, storage or VMs is higher in the list than some of the other ones. But they're not there's not one team that's building all of those. They're actually the individual team, so they can be actually done in parallel. There's no line, per se, that they all have to stand in to come up. But there is no long, we don't have a schedule for the long term of when those will light up. But the intent is very soon, before we GA. FY15, probably. Oh, sorry. 15. Yeah. I'm being purposely vague. Soon, but not tomorrow. I prefer. That's my personal preference. In our case, the being able to have the simple declarative way of describing your resources, instead of having to understand all of the verbs and commandlets that you have to use to actually create those things, and being able to abstract that from you so you don't have to understand the nuances of each of those calls, and then the behaviors of those calls, right? So if one of those requests fail, you have to create logic in your PowerShell script to say, hey, if this thing fails, now what will I do? And so you have to create all that stuff. As you get more complex, imagine if you had 36 resources, what that script would be. It's not just 36 calls, but it's if conditions and, yeah. I'm sorry? Tosca? I'm not familiar with the Tosca standard. No, but I can talk to you about that afterwards. Okay. Anything else? Besides you, anybody want to use this? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of the... Right. Right. cross your fingers. Some bones you have to shake, throw before it comes up. And yeah.
It's a little fragile.
Yes. So we recognize that, and that's, you know, one of the motivations for doing this. It's certainly for, like, test environments. You rip them, you build them up and rip them down, you know, in an hour and you do it. That's right. Yep. That's great. You know, for today, for example, you know, not all the resources are exposed through the Azure Resource Manager. So the Azure Automation is a great way to go and manage the, what I'll call the classic resources now, through that model, because you don't have the template language, and that, you know, those guys have been working on automation for quite a while, and that was, you know, part of their motivation is to help with some of those scenarios. There are other scenarios where it's not just about the deployment of the resources, but about the state of the machines themselves. And there's a bunch of work that you have to do after the machine is up. So the deployments really, you know, the deployment templates really help with the goal state of what the resources that you want out on those machines. But you know, what those nodes are actually doing, you have to, you know, of course you'll deploy code and we'll help you deploy code. But there's other things that it has to do and reach out to some other service and get some other config.
So is the VM deployment working out?
Through here? Not yet.
Yes?
Not yet.
So when it's working, is it going to have support for all the extension stuff that just came out of VMs for installing Chef agents?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's our critical scenario. If you, you know, want to be able to bring up a VM, start it with a Puppet agent, have it reach out to the Puppet server and pull it down and then just start it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so the question was, do we have references of templates to other templates so you can create modular ones? Not yet, but that is on our very short list of capabilities for templates, because even the gallery itself would like to do that as it grows, to construct these as opposed to create more complex templates. So yes. So not yet, but very soon. Yeah, I mean, it's We try not to create a new language, right? It's a description, right, rather than code. But it should feel, you know, for those who are devs, it should feel very straightforward. You're just assigning a set of properties, and then pushing those values out to the resources themselves. Okay. Ah. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we want, so the question is, it would be nice if you could store these templates someplace, you know, other than TFS. You know, TFS, you know, or Git is actually a nice place to put those, because it's an existing store and it's close to your code. But one of the things that will be coming, so we have this curated gallery. Soon we'll have a My Gallery. So if you want your own personal gallery with, let's say you're in an enterprise and you want your enterprise gallery items, and so all your employees go look at that gallery as opposed to the public one, or you can have your private one. That's one of the things that we'll also be working on.
I like Git.
Yes. So I have to support TFS, but yes, Git. Git is a great source as well. We're all using it too. Yeah. Okay. If you have any more questions, please feel free just to come up and see me. Is there any more slides? Resources, and don't forget to complete your evaluation. We're giving away some gift cards and an Xbox One. And evaluate the session. You can go ahead and scan that thing. Thanks.